For the Seed Pros, they being your pioneer dealers in the Atlantic, Lyman, and Messina area, and the Family Vision Center in the heart of greater downtown Atlantic, this is Bob Devensey along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, we've got a lot of things to talk about today, and I don't really know where to start. We might as well start with some good news. Let's talk about the flathead catfish in the Nishnabotna.
Yes, been getting some good reports on the fishing in the Nishnabotna flatheads, especially the big ones. Of course, it would make sense. They'd be migrating upstream this time of year to spawn, looking for spawning grounds. But, you know, usually they say catfish bite on the fall, not a rise on the river. But, again, the reports I'm getting are that they're really getting into the big ones. So they're destroying that old myth, I guess, of biting on the and they're biting on the rise instead of the fall.
Yeah, well, so things happen in
nature. I don't know how it could rise much more. I mean, I know it could, but
I know they migrate up every year, but the big ones coming, would that be because we've had a constant supply of bigger water this year than what we normally do?
Very well could be that additional depth. Of course, that instinct for them to swim upstream, and not that we have many low head dams on the Nishnabotna like we do on some other rivers around the state, but many times those low head dams stop those fish from migrating upstream, and so that's just Mother Nature's way of having those fish spread out and populate the upper stretches of those streams. So certainly the high water would certainly invite that.
Mm-hmm. We could drop a few fish into my pond right south of the radio station building here in my horse pasture. Mother Nature said back in, let's see, when did that pond disappear? Back in probably 64 or 5, so that's 50 years ago. There used to be a pond there. And Mother Nature says, I want a pond there. So this last flood we had just earlier this week, it flooded in there, and there's a big patch of water standing, and that ground is just gradually settling away, and it will become a pond if we let Mother Nature have her way, which we probably will.
Now, would that have been an old oxbow? Is it Oxbow Lake off of the river?
It could very well be. There was a bridge right here, and then another one on down before the Troublesome Creek. But could very well have been.
There you go.
She wants to go where she wants to go, and she'll do it.
That's right.
Let's talk about fishing in general. And the I imagine some of the farm ponds have got enough protection from runoff that they're not too bad, but I imagine there's some water that's pretty murky.
Well, of course, some are better than others. Even some of the best ones that I've been around are murky compared to what they normally are. But of course, those that are more susceptible are kind of looking like chocolate milk about right now. I fished a pretty well-protected pond last week, and fishing was slow, although we did pick up some crappies, which have spawned out now. We picked up some largemouth and picked up some bluegills, which looked to me like they were still waiting to spawn. But the action wasn't hot and heavy by any stretch, but we did pick up some nice fish. But again, since then we've gotten a lot more additional rain, so I'm sure those ponds as well are high and dirty. So, and just I'm by no means a professional fisherman, but I know when they get dirty and murky like that, you've got to fish them in a different manner. Fish rely more on movement and vibration, so it's a matter of using different lures and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. The biologists, they are expert fishermen. I've been told that, Lou Lemke told me once, my fishing report and their first fishing report's going to be different because they go do it, and they're good. And he said, the ones I check are what I see in the creel, and that's what I'm going to report. So that's great. That's what it should be. But they fail once in a while and have to revert to the battery and the prods too. So, you know, whatever, in their case, they've got to get it done. So
sure,
whatever it takes. Another thing that's happening, we've got a lone swan left out at the Shilberg Quarry. And you've been getting a lot of calls on that.
They did. The call started back, and I don't remember now. It was late winter, January, February of this this swan. It was kind of off by itself. People thought that it was sick, that it was injured. I've been out there a number of, and then it just kind of reared its, I don't want to say ugly, but it reared its head again Last night I got a call from the sheriff's office on it, and I went out and took a look. So basically I've got a number of calls, and essentially I've seen the swan a number of times now. Yes, it is by itself. I don't know whether it's lost its mate, whether its mate died, I'm not certain of all those details, but the swan appears from what I can see to be healthy. It doesn't appear to be injured, obviously, that is at least. So for right now, the call I got last night that there were some folks that thought the swan had a can around its neck, stuck on its neck. I went out this morning, and I'm not sure what they were seeing, but the swan that I saw that fit the description was by itself. It was on the very northwest pond of the quarry, and it had one of our one of our neck bands or neck collars, which is red in color, and it's got some white numbers and letters on it. And if that's what they saw, that's not a can. That is a neck band, so that we can identify that bird. And again, I watched it, and it was swimming around, and it was sleeping. It seemed perfectly content and healthy. So we appreciate the calls. We appreciate the concerns from the public. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of update folks on it, it appears to be healthy from what I can see.
Good news, you bet. That red and white, they probably thought it was a Campbell's soup can.
It very well could. A Coke can, Campbell's soup can. It does kind of look like that from a distance.
You bet. A few other housekeeping chores. The turtles are on the move. They're getting far away from water in order to do their nesting.
Oh, a ton of turtles out there. Everything from, of course, snapping turtles, which are very populous, painted and red-eared sliders around. I took a trip down to the Ozarks a couple weeks ago and actually came across a Blanding's turtle, moved him off the highway on my way down there. But folks are seeing all these turtles, and a lot of them are getting hit on the roads. With this high water, of course, it's nesting season for them. They're wanting to lay their eggs. And, of course, if they lay their eggs in the floodplain with high water, they're going to get washed out. And therefore, all that effort by Mother Nature, all that effort went to waste for those turtles. So they are, it seems like they're moving further and further from water to lay those eggs so that they don't get washed out, to obviously perpetuate the population. So it's not unusual, but I do get a number of calls. Why so many turtles so far from water? So it's just part of the necessity this year.
Yeah. One other item, this is up in northeast Iowa. Won't spend a lot of time on it, but they've been spotting a black bear up there. And black bears are not too bad to contend with. They're more shy, and they're not super wired like a grizzly or a brown bear, but you be a little bit careful, and they're probably going to leave you alone.
Absolutely. You know, black bears are native to the state of Iowa. We had them here before, pre-European settlement. Again, they are native, and some wander down from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and again, generally we see them in that northeast corner. When I lived and worked up there, I saw with my own two eyes a number of times verified black bear sightings, and you're right, they can be a nuisance. The game wardens, conservation officers up north call them big black raccoons because they're kind of mischievous. They get into bird feeders, they'll get into garbage, we just got to take that into account. And of course, again, like any wild animal that can weigh 200, 300 pounds, obviously, be wary of them, but nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. Up in the Superior Forest, the canoe country up in northern Minnesota, many bears up there, and they're in and out of the campsites at night, and you hardly ever, if ever, hear of any actual damage or any injury that's done.
And they've, something that they do up there is they require that you take all of your food in bear-proof canisters, and that eliminates a lot of the, and out west, if you live in hunt in grizzly country or bear country, period, same thing, bear-proof containers and or hanging food well off of the ground. We hunted in Alaska, and we had five different six different grizzly bears within 500 yards of camp when we were up there. So that puts a whole new perspective on things when you're not at the top of the food chain any longer.
That many around, I'd sleep in the bear-proof container. I wouldn't worry about the food. We'll be back and talk about the outdoor journey for girls that's going on this weekend after we break for this.
When you're looking for a great new gift idea for your loved ones, head to Family Vision Center in Atlantic. They carry brand name sunglasses like Oakley, Serengeti, Olay, Wiley X, and many more that would make great gifts. If you're not sure of the style they'd like, Family Vision Center has gift certificates available. They can use the gift certificates for all their eye care needs, including eye exams, prescription glasses, and sunglasses too. Stop into Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for great gift options for all occasions.
Outdoor Journey for Girls. This is a program up at Springbrook this weekend that's been going on for quite a long time, and a great, great effort on the part of the DNR.
Well, yes, and you know, Iowa Women and Natural Resources, they it's a big project for them as well. And yes, just late the end of this last week, they had their first camp. That was June 17th through the 19th up at Springbrook. And then July 7th through the 9th, there's an additional camp at Hickory Hills. It's up by Waterloo in Blackhawk County. And a little closer to home here, again in August, August 5th through the 7th, again at Springbrook, is the third camp. And this is a camp for girls 12 to 15 years of age. Mm-hmm. And as I was telling you off air there, I've been working at this camp essentially since I got hired as an officer 18 plus years ago. And it really is I believe, a great program. You know, you see some, of course, some young ladies come in and they've hunted already and they've fished and they've shot guns, and so they just jump in with both feet. And you get some others that come in that maybe aren't quite as experienced in the outdoor stuff, and maybe they don't want to, you know, at the beginning they don't want to touch the fish, and they think dressing the pheasant or quail is gross, and by the end they're kind of jumping in with both feet as well. So it introduces a lot of disciplines to the girls. Everything, they do get their hunter education certificate while they're there, so they get through the hunter education program. Outdoor survival, archery shooting, rifle shooting, shotgun shooting. They end up on Friday, they end up going fishing, and they learn a little bit about dog training, and they do some night hikes and just wildlife in general, just all kinds of things. So it's a great opportunity, and a lot of course, we pair up with, again, Iowa Women and Natural Resources and Pheasants Forever, and Pheasants Forever does a great job of sponsoring a number of these young ladies to go to this camp to help defray some of the costs. So okay. If it's something they're interested in, then go to our website, iowadnr.gov, and just type in Outdoor Journey for Girls, and it'll pull up all the information, the links to get registered, and everything they need to know. And if they have any questions, they can feel free to give their local conservation officer a call, and we'll be glad to help them out, send them in the right direction.
Good program, you bet. We'll be back and talk about an operation most people haven't heard about, and that's Operation Drywater after we break for this.
Precision Ag can seem like a full-time job. How do you keep your investment progressive and prudent? Contact Lee Satoff or Jim Swanson at Lyman Ag Supply, your MZB zone-based precision farming specialist today. Lyman Ag and MZB will create multiple layered management zones in each of your fields to be as efficient and effective as possible with your crop inputs. So call Lyman Ag Supply at 778-4486 for your precision soil sampling this fall. Lyman Ag Supply, maximizing your input dollars.
Brian, Operation Drywater, that's I don't know what you would call that for sure, but oxymoron, I guess, would be as close as we could get.
Well, you know, the DNR, the state government, we're full of oxymorons, right? But
let's not go there.
I said that, you didn't. Yes, Operation Drywater. It's an annual event. It's actually funded by the federal government. And of course, obviously, operating any type of vehicle, if you will, while under the influence of alcohol is obviously unsafe. It's a major public safety hazard, and entirely too many people are killed or injured every year due to intoxicated or impaired drivers. Operation Drywater is targeting those folks specifically on the water, obviously boating, operating a boat while under the influence of alcohol and or illicit drugs. And it's an annual project, and that this year runs the 26th, 27th, and 28th of this month of June. And so conservation officers, those sheriff's offices that have water patrols around some of your larger metro areas, some of the actual sheriff's offices and city police departments actually have water patrols out on the lakes and the rivers. And again, we're always looking for those intoxicated boaters, but that weekend specifically will be a concerted effort in taking those folks off of the water and ensuring that the water's a safer place for families to enjoy.
Sounds good. One thing to make waterways a lot safer, and anybody that's around water at all needs to have that life jacket on. There was a incident, I think, in Nebraska just this past week where a 72-year-old, which probably has a little bit to do with it, was getting, I believe, out of his boat onto a dock, and he slipped, and the boat drifted off a little bit, and he was trying to swim to it, and he didn't make it, you know, and they lost him, and if he'd had that life jacket on, he'd have been okay.
I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I keep beating that drum, but, you know, they're like seatbelts. If you're not wearing them, they're not going to do a darn thing for you. So.
That's right. You got to have them. You bet. For the Seed Pros, they being your Pioneer dealers in this area, and the Pioneer dealers have a good deal for you because when you pull in to the probe with a big semi-load of corn, you can get on the intercom and tell them this is so-and-so and contract number, and I have on board a load of homegrown number 2 yellow field corn. And not only that, it's Pioneer, and like Mrs. Olson said, that's the best kind. On behalf of the Seed Pros and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, this has been Bob Evensee along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Dare Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.